Hello and welcome to Tau Capes, where we cover film, television, comics, and games. I'm your host, Cody Nestor. Alongside me is my co-host, Todd Heal.
Hey, guys.
Today, we are discussing the 2024 comic book Thundercats number one. Fleeing through space to escape their dying homeworld, the Thundercats were attacked en route by their mortal enemies, the Mutants of Plundar. After diverting their damaged flagship to a planet called Third Earth, the surviving Thundercats now strive to rebuild their society in harmony with the New World's natives. But the mutants, determined to possess the Thundercats' mystical gem, the Eye of Thundera, have tracked them down. And they've also forged an alliance with Mum-Ra, the Devil Priest of Third Earth. Thundercats number one was released on February 7th, 2024, published by Dynamite, written by Declan Shalvey, with art by Drew Moss and cover by David Nakayama. So, Todd, let's discuss Thundercats number one. Spoilers are ahead.
Okay.
Todd, I'll start off with this. Tell us about your history with the Thundercats.
Oh, I go all the way back to the original 1980, I think it was 86 cartoon.
Yeah, 85, 86.
The LJN toy line. Yeah. After that, I did watch the, what year was the Cartoon Network reboot? Was
2011.
I was kind of digging that for a while till they just pulled the plug.
Yeah, that first two-parter is epic.
Yes.
Very epic.
From there, I mean, as far as comic-wise, I remember, I think Marvel did a few back under their Star label back in the day, but I had never really read any Thundercats comics other than that, and that was, you know, way back in the day.
Yeah, same for me. I have a brief history with the Thundercats. I really like the property. I like the idea, the characters overall. I'm not going to say I've watched every episode of the original show. I've watched some of the series. We talked about last time we kind of sat together. We watched the very first episode, Exodus, mm-hmm. of the show. There's a lot of episodes for that first season, like 65, right. to kind of get into syndication and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to say I've watched every episode, but I do enjoy the property. I think this is probably the first comic of Thundercats that I've ever read, maybe ever.
Okay.
So to start off here, I think both of us, we kind of talked over the years. I think we both enjoy reading comics. I don't think, well, I can speak for me, I don't read as many as I used to.
Exactly.
That's me. I don't read as much as I used to in terms of comic books, which I still love the medium, and I'm glad we're kind of getting back into this and doing some more. It was good to go back. This is the first comic I've read. I didn't read any last year that I know of.
Okay.
So this is the first one of 2024 and hopefully more. But I know from previous conversations that we've had, we both kind of feel like no matter how good a story is for a comic, if the art is not, in our subjective opinion, favorable or likable or digestible or whatever you want to put into it, if the art is not hitting for us, it really takes down our enjoyment of the comic book.
Exactly.
So for you, what did you think to start off? What did you think of the art here?
Honestly, I didn't really mind it. I thought it was, you know, maybe not the best I've saw, but I thought it was nice artwork. I'll say I'm more of a fan of what I would call like a more, I guess maybe simple or clean art style. If you're thinking like George Perez, Jim Lee, Neil Adams, Jim Aparo, I like that stuff more. They say the exaggerated type art style. Mm-hmm. I think this is kind of, for me, somewhere kind of in the middle. You know, everybody, I could tell who everybody was. That's a plus.
right.
But, I didn't mind the art style. You know, it didn't detract from me, which is always a plus. You know, it didn't hinder me from the story. So I would say I liked it.
Yeah, I agree. I think if I had to pick a word to describe it, I would say serviceable.
Gotcha.
It didn't blow me away. There wasn't a lot of panels or pages that I was like, wow, it's really, there's one or so. We have a couple things we'll talk about later that I was like, oh, this is really good. I think it was also a little bit inconsistent. In places, I agree with you. Like, you know, just for me, if people are like, well, what do you think is good art? I would say I love Jim Lee's artwork. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I love, what is his name? I can't even think of it. It's David Finch's artwork as well. Yeah. There's a few. I mean, I like the 90s McFarlane stuff. Like, there's quite a wide variety. Like, just, but for me, you know, if the art doesn't kind of match the tone of the book, or like if it's not in the vein of something that I really enjoy, sometimes it can detract. I don't think this detracted, but I just think it's just serviceable. I think there's a little bit of hit and miss, and I think, like I said, it's a little bit inconsistent for my taste sometimes.
Gotcha.
But it didn't detract from it. Like, I still. I wouldn't turn away from this book because of the art.
Gotcha.
And I mean, who am I to critique? Right. I'm not an artist, but yeah. I'm a guy on the internet with an opinion, and that's my opinion on it. I think it's fine, serviceable to fine for
okay.
me. So kind of take us through the story a little bit. But what's going on here, Todd?
So basically, we kind of get a little kind of a condensed version of the Thundercats Exodus story. You know, we see a little bit of the destruction of Thundera. You know, they're the final ship left. You know, the mutants have attacked them. They can't make their original destination spot. They've kind of had to settle for heading for Third Earth. We kind of get the explanation in the comic of why, you know, Lino kind of aged up, why everybody else kind of remained the same. He had some damage suffered to his pod.
And that's, I think, my big, not issue, but I think, I don't know what I kind of expected from this book.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think my expectations maybe were this was kind of, in a way, maybe kind of being a reboot in a way of it, or mm-hmm. a retelling, or just I kind of expected more different than what I got. And
right.
I'm not saying that's bad, but I think my big critique or criticism, I would say, if I had one, is that the story here is a lot. It's mostly just a recap of the first few episode of the first episode of the TV show. You don't
yeah.
get a lot propelling you forward until the last few pages,
right?
Which is fine, but I kind of wish this was maybe like a double-sized issue. You know, I think it's like 24 pages. Like, make it 48 and
yeah.
give me a little bit. Give me old, set up the old and set up what universe, because we're definitely living in a slightly modified version of that pilot Exodus episode.
Right.
Slightly different character design, slightly different characterization. One kind of little shocking thing happens later on, and then maybe another little what's going on here stinger at the end. But it's a lot of like things you know, and just like kind of really like slipping you into that warm 1985 Thundercats bath.
Right, right.
And maybe I don't have the same nostalgia for it as other people would. Maybe that's a selling point for others, that it's just
yeah.
firmly seated within that. But for me, I kind of wish it would kind of forge its own path just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think my big inconsistency is mostly with Lion-O. It seems like his face, like the first, there's the big kind of splash is like the arrival, and you see the first group shot, and there's our story title of Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's fine, and Lino has a very, like, it's almost a very toy-like, flat plastic face, not much mm-hmm. detail. And I was like, okay, that's what we're going for. And then later on, we see that shift, and it's like a little inconsistent, because he looks, in panels, he looks older than he looked in that original panel.
Right.
Sometimes he looks more cat-like. Sometimes he looks more humanistic.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit inconsistent there. That's when I talk about the inconsistencies. It's a little bit with Lino's face and some of the face work, and especially when you're not doing close-up shots of the character.
Yeah.
It's a lot of very chunky lines and those kind of things. So that's where I talk about it's kind of inconsistent to me.
Okay.
Also, no Snarf.
No Snarf, yeah.
No Snarf in any of this. So what happens here? So we see, again, we get our setup. They escaped. Jaga died. Lino got raised up from cub to man.
To cub to man.
Now he's got to be thrust into the leadership of the Thundercats, and the mutants have followed them, and we see that the mutants have come back. We also see that Lino's been kind of training with Panthro.
Right.
Panthro's kind of teaching him. He says he's not ready to really wield the Sword of Omens. Lino's, ha, I'm ready.
Yeah.
he takes the sword. He takes the what's it called? The
claw shield.
Yeah, he takes that. He feels that he's ready, and he wishes Lino would kind of get off my back, old man. I'm ready for this. It's a very not to the same extent, but it felt very Anakin Obi-Wan-esque.
Oh yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's very much like, you know, Obi-Wan doesn't see how much I've improved, and like he's always criticizing, and
right.
like it's kind of felt like a little like that.
Not to that same extent.
But take us through kind of the showdown here with the mutants and kind of the meat of the story here, I guess you would say.
So the mutants actually show up. The mutant ship actually shows up. Lino actually uses a sword to summon the Thundercats. Him and Slythe have a big battle. I like the way Slythe is kind of giving him a lot of bit of the old 1-2 with some of his dialogue. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like that kind of exchange they have. They get into a clash, and I think, does Lino actually break the Sword of Omens?
Well, yeah, there's a point where Panthro, he's kind of remarking about how Lino does seem to be doing well in battle with Slythe, and he's like, wait a minute, I know that weapon. Yeah. And he's like talking about Sly's weapon.
Yeah.
And Sly and Lino kind of clash, ends up breaking the Sword of Omens.
Right.
And my question to you is there something special about anything that Sly had weapon-wise and in the original show that you remember?
Honestly, nothing that's coming to mind. I seem like I remember an episode where the Sword of Omens actually was broken into two pieces, but I don't remember what the logistics of or why it happened. I think it was the way Lino used it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of against the code of Thundera.
Maybe he wasn't ready.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't remember a specific weapon a mutant had that would have caused something like that.
That's kind of our biggest, besides kind of the little stinger at the end, that's kind of our biggest, like, WTF moment of the book is, like, when the Sword of Omens actually shatters. Now, I think, as far as the art goes, I think the strong points were the action scenes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like those were handled and very well executed and very well done compared to some of the just stationary scenes that we see in the panels that we get. I think some of those action scenes, I think all that, which is pretty much the last few pages, is just mostly action.
Yep.
I think those were all done really, really well, in my opinion. The sword gets broken and we see Lino's kind of, he's distraught. He feels like he's failed. I think, how is it that they actually ends up running off the mutants? Do you remember? Do they run them off? Don't they like crash or somebody crash?
I think the ship crashed, didn't it?
They
wow. Just,
we just read this, did we not?
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, so this is us coming back from a discussion about how if the mutants actually were run off or not from the final battle. But no, they were not run off from the final battle. It ends basically with the Sword of Omens being
shattered,
Lino dropping to his knees, and then we get cut away to Mum-Ra, who we did see a little bit introduced earlier in the comic, but we kind of jump to Mum-Ra. He feels the energy of the Eye of Thundera, and now he feels that it's gone out of existence. And he basically is kind of pointing the finger at Jaga,
right
at the end of it. So, what do you feel like that's about, Todd?
It's kind of insinuating that Mum-Ra and Jaga had a past, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, did they knew each other before Jaga and the Thundercats come to Third Earth?
Which I think would be something new because I don't remember anything established before.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I don't remember anything. I thought that Jaga and the rest of the Thundercats had encountered Mum-Ra after coming to Third Earth.
Yeah.
But here, maybe we were hinting at some type of past between the two. Maybe some insinuation that there's something more insidious going on with Jaga.
Could be. Not Jaga.
We don't know. Other things I'll highlight here. We don't get much as far as character-wise and scenes with other characters. We get one moment with kind of Tigra and Chitara.
A little bit with the Thunder Kittens.
Did I say
Kittens?
Chitara? Is that her name?
Chitara. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
I was like, I got Cheetah on the mind for a second. I'm like, is it Cheetah or Chitara? Yeah, Chitara. She's kind of out kind of giving Tigra kind of shit about hunting and his hunting skills. And they're kind of hunting some kind of bunny dinosaur thing. Tigra is to try to eat it. I do like Tigra's design. They give him kind of a beard. They kind of make him a little bit older looking. What do you think about that?
Uh-oh.
Okay, here comes Todd's problem.
That's the only thing I didn't like. Was that little beardy mustachey thing,
right?
Little Tigra. I mean, I know back in the day he was supposed to be the elder statesman, if I'm correct. I think Tigra was the oldest, but I don't know. Maybe it'll grow on me, but I just, that little, like, I don't know what it was. I didn't like it.
Okay, fair
enough. I'm sorry,
enough.
Cody.
No, it's fine. I mean, we both got different opinions. I kind of like just, you know, I don't think they really changed much about the characters other than that's probably the biggest change that I would say.
Yeah, it was Tigra's look.
Yeah, it was just kind of the look on him. And I'm fine with it. But I mean, overall plot wise and storyline wise, I think again it's a lot of what we kind of knew coming out of the TV show, original series. There's not a lot of new here, and the stuff that is new here, it's an issue one. Let's not beat it to death too much.
Right.
Like, I still, if any of this looks like that, I'm hating on it. I'm not hating on it. I think I actually enjoyed reading it. I'm intrigued by where it may go. So I had some things here, Todd. We wanted to kind of pick out some stuff. So for you, so like, what would be something that you would point out and say, this is something that I really like about this issue?
I think I really like, you know, like so far the characterization of the Thundercats. I mean, like you say, we didn't get a whole lot with some of them, like Tigra, Chitara, and the Thunder Kittens, we'll call them.
Mm-hmm. But now, they get almost nothing. Nothing. Here. Yeah. They chase that little bunny dinosaur and like bump into each other. That's about it. Yeah.
But you know, everybody is pretty much who I remember them as being. Nobody has really changed drastically other than Tiger's got a stash. But hey, I'll live with it.
Right.
But everybody's characterization seems pretty much spot on for what I know them to be.
Yeah. For me, I would say probably the highlight for me, the thing I like the most is probably the action scenes, the introduction of, you know, kind of the Sword of Omens, the first call to the Thundercats, the first Thundercats assemble type thing.
Right.
And all the action versus Sly, I think, was handled really well. What about something you didn't like?
Tiger stash? No, I'm just kidding.
Poor Tiger. He's getting dragged in this for no reason.
It's okay. Not that I don't like Tiger. Tiger's probably, you know, he's one of my, you know, top Thundercats. You know, I think Panther would probably be my number one, then Lino, then Tiger.
Gotcha. what would you say, which full page would you say is the best and why?
I really like that. I can't remember if it was a full page or if it was just like maybe a half, a top and a bottom, but where the Thundercats symbol was kind of showing on top of the mutant ship, like it was the big ho. I really like that one.
Yeah, that was going to be my choice. I would say my favorite, like full page, like, you know, all panels and everything considered as a whole page would be the Thunder call out, the right. one right before the one you're talking right. about. I really like that last, that last panel of Lino as he like calls out the last Thunder before saying like, oh, like I really like that shot of him. And he looks very like fierce and menacing there.
Yeah.
And before he looked like a plastic kid's toy, which I mean, he was at one point. That's what the show was. True. It was a 30-minute ad for children's toys, but still.
Thank you, deregulation.
Yeah. Do you have a page that you say is the worst full page and why?
I mean, really just that one. I mean, again, Tiger's in it, but, you know, this ain't the reason why. It's just, you know, the Tiger Chitara with a little bit of the kittens chasing that dinosaur thing. Just, it was a wasted panel. You didn't really need it.
Right.
Dinosaur bunny thing.
Yeah. For me, there's a page where it starts off with Lino saying he was supposed to be a cub page. If you look down the page, the last panel is one more group shot. It's like our second group shot after the big spread. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ones where Lino, his design and his like face look completely different there.
Right.
Tiger's very far back. He's kind of almost featureless. Mm-hmm. That's probably my worst page, I would say, if I was looking at it. Do you have an individual panel that you thought was best?
Probably the smashing of the Sword of Omens. That was pretty, pretty cool.
Just Lino, like, dropping to his knees. Yeah. I really liked, I'm going to give it to, since I kind of gave the full page to the Thunder. I like the Tiger thing. There's a panel where Tiger is, you see him kind of shrouded and, like, stalking that bunny dinosaur in the in the brush. I really like how that looked. That's probably my favorite panel. Do you have a worse panel?
Anyone Tiger's in. I'm just kidding.
Poor Tiger.
I'm just kidding.
Jesus, just taking strays all over the place.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I think it's, I think the worst panel I would say is it's that second group shot. It's that Destiny has forced my hand. It's that four kind of second group shot for me that I just something don't sit right about it. Like, again, I'm not an art critic and I'm not an artist myself, but just for me, I would say that's probably the weakest panel to me. If you had one thing that you can change about this issue, Ty, what would it be?
We're not going to go back
Todd's
to the
very Tiger focused.
We're not going back to the mustache. You know, it went by really quick. I mean, I forgot how fast modern comics read. Because
I think I messaged you,
and I was like, is this the last panel?
Yeah.
Because I downloaded it and read it on my tablet, and I thought maybe something might have got messed up. And he was like, yeah, that's the last panel.
Yeah, the app reader that I use, it tells you how long you took to read it, and I think I read it in like 8 minutes. I did another read, but I think it was like 8.5 minutes I read it in, just kind of first run through, and I kind of went back to kind of like really take a longer look at the panels and stuff. But yeah, it was like about 8 minutes I read it.
Because I've always read kind of weird. I'll read all my dialogue, and then I will dwell on a page, like the artwork, and then I'll turn.
Right.
I've always done that. I don't know why.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think it would be a little bit inconsistent with the art if I could change that a little bit more. Maybe there was a timeline, maybe a deadline or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not really familiar with this artist and his work. I kind of looked up some of his things he'd done before. I hadn't read any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of them, but I just hadn't read them personally, so I can't really speak to his other art and his other work. But just for me, I think like you, it's a little bit of kind of the art style and a little bit. Maybe we make this double size.
Yeah, because it seemed like it just went by way too quick.
Yeah, like I said, give me the old, give me 24 pages of the old and give me 24 pages of new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's really get the ball rolling on setup of what we're going to be doing in this new Thundercats relaunch. But other than that, that's probably just two nitpicks really from us. Last question here I have a Tori Tyler. Would you pick up issue 2?
I would. I honestly would. I would kind of like to see where it goes.
Would you recommend people spend their money for one?
How much does comics retail for now?
I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about physical versus digital. There's different ways to buy them. But, right. I mean, I would say, let's say anywhere from $5 to $10.
Whoa. If you have a way to read it online, go ahead and go for it.
Towelcase is not endorsed by
Yeah, give it a try. As far as picking it up physical, I mean, it is a number one. You never know with number ones.
There's a lot of very good looking covers. There's like
a lot of good.
There's
variants,
a million variant covers for this. I think like with any comic book nowadays. Yeah. So if you're a fan of Thundercats and you have a cover that you really like of the variants out there, I say give it a pickup.
Go for it.
If you're still a physical collector and you're not mostly just digital now, I would say definitely find your favorite variant, pick it up.
Pick it up
for sure. Anything else that you kind of want to add, Todd, before I ask you for a review score for this issue?
Not really. I mean, it was a nice, just solid read. I say it went by way too quick, but I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would definitely pick up another issue or give it another try.
Absolutely. So we rank comics using a 1 to 10 scale, starting from 1, the ranks are torture, 2, awful, 3, bad, 4, subpar, 5, mediocre, 6, decent, 7, good, 8, great, 9, amazing, 10, masterpiece. Todd, give us your final thoughts and review score for Thundercats number 1.
I give Thundercats number 1 a 6 on our review scale, which is decent. I think this is just a nice little, maybe too quick of a start, but we've kind of got our foot in the door, and I'm interested to see kind of where this story goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I also give Thundercats a 6 out of 10, which ranks it as decent on our scale. Double size it, maybe a little bit more consistent artwork, and you probably get an 8 or a 9 from me. But as far as what we got, I'm definitely intrigued. I think I'll stick around and kind of read 2 and see what we're setting up with the Jaga, what happens with the Sword of Omen. So you've got me here, Dynamite. I'm intrigued. I'll stick around and see where this goes.
Yep.
So, Todd, tell everyone how they can find us and stay up to date with us on social media.
We're at Towel Capes on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Towel Capes Podcast on Facebook. You can also email us at towelcapespod@gmail.com.
If you enjoy the show, please consider following your podcast platform of choice and subscribing to our YouTube channel. Towel Capes Real will return. We want to thank you so much for watching. Until next time, bye, guys.
See you, guys.